Amen.
Okay, by the grace of God, today we are looking at the 18th part of part 18 of our Pauline episode that we've started about 5 months ago. And I believe by now we are well abreast with the things of the scripture. Like we know the book of Acts is actually the hallmark of Paul's episode. So if you have a proper knowledge of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, you will understand other episodes of Paul. Hallelujah. But today, God helping us, we're going to look at something and think alongside with ourselves, because the book of Acts is not complete. The story in the book of Acts is not complete. So we see that today. And we will now see how we will now allow the scripture, like the Bible says, it said we should divide the word of truth. So we will now see how to divide this word of truth, to extract informations, to complete those things that Dr. Luke didn't furnish us with. Hallelujah. Before we move into today's teaching, wherever you are all over the world, I believe we've learned so much from these 5 months lectures. And also thank you very much for the feedbacks we are receiving. It helps us to look deep in more, knowing that people are really getting knowledge. So last week we talked on how King Agrippa visited Paul in the prison. And we saw how Paul was to be released, but because he appealed to Caesar. So because of that appeal, and the appeal has been confirmed by the governor, so there is nothing they could do. His signature is there already. And we saw how Paul finally entered the ship moving to Rome. And we saw when they got to Lebanon, which is Sidon, what we now call the Lebanon of our days. You see why we do all these things? We mention them because we have anti-Christians who says the Bible is the book of the white man. So we try to make all these references to our physical geography for us to see the Bible is not the book of a white man. It's actually the record of events, true life events that happened. Hallelujah. So we saw when Paul got to Lebanon, the chief captain, whom I believe have known Paul for the 2 years Paul has been in prison, they must have been good friends. He's seen the life of Paul. He's seen that Paul is not a troublesome one. For a military general to have allowed a prisoner, quote and unquote, to go out by himself, go into the town, eat amala, eat ojuju soup and the rest, and when you are done, come back and join us, you know, it's not just a normal relationship. So we saw when Paul got to that Lebanon, he went into the town, visited his friends, took shower, freshened himself, and when he was done, and he came back. Again, we noted another man, Luke, because Luke, we also look at the life of Luke today. Luke also followed him from Caesarea, going down to Rome. And we saw finally when they continued that journey, they got to a place where their boat started having issue. So Paul, as a spiritual man, a prophet, a teacher, and what have you, told them, please, I don't want us to continue, because I have sensed in the spirit that when we continue, we are not going to get to our destination. But he's not a seaman. They turned down his advice, his suggestion. You are a preacher. What do you know about the waves of the sea? What do you know about the water turbulence? So they ignored his advice and they continued. So when they moved, they now saw that what Paul spoke was actually the truth. They were despair of life. They thought they are going to die. Actually, their ship got broken, and we know what that means. When your ship gets broken, water will be entering. So every one of them, they prayed their last prayer because they've concluded they are going to die. But that night, like we pointed out, There is a short prophecy Paul actually was holding on to that I believed when he prayed that night. He was telling the Lord, remember, you promised me you'll be bringing me to Rome. Is it how we are going to die? I believe with all my heart that Paul prayed that prayer. And Paul said that night, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a result of the prayer he prayed. And the angel of the Lord assured him again that, Paul, you are not going to die. And not only you, including those who are with you in this ship. So early in the morning, Paul stood up and he asked them, please calm down. Nobody should be afraid again. We know water is entering the ship, but the angel of the Lord was by me yesterday night. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. You see, when you hear from the Lord, when you pray and the Lord comes to give you assurance of things ahead, it builds your confidence. It builds your confidence. You see, I just visualize the conversation between Paul and the angel. It's just sweetening my heart. Hallelujah. And he said, no, the angel of the Lord was with me yesterday night. The angel of the Lord said, nobody is going to die, and I know whom I have believed. Nobody is going to die. Forget about the physical things you see in the water entering the boat. Nobody is going to die. And they took to Paul's word, and they started sailing. When the prophecy began to come to pass, they were not patient enough to wait for the consummation of the prophecy. Immediately they saw the boat now sailing as normal. The seamen began to let down some boats. You know, all these big ships, they have little boats of escape in it. So immediately the ship began to move normal. The shipmen began to let down some little boats to escape, to leave other people to die. You see human greediness. They didn't even give Paul boat to escape with the man that brought the prophecy. They took their own to escape and leave the prophet to die in the water. Human being. So immediately they started doing that. Paul stood up again, say, okay, captain, tell those people, if they escape from this boat, they are going to die. Only those that will be here while the water is entering in this boat, you see your death. And the prophet is saying, it's not unto death, it's unto life. So they hearkened again to the voice of Paul. They didn't run away, and they stayed in the boat. And finally, they all arrived Rome safely. Let's appreciate the grace of God in the life of Paul. Hallelujah. So that was how Paul arrived Rome with the people. So today, we want to look at some of the activities that happened in Rome, God helping us. Some of the activities that happened in Rome, God helping us. And the book of Acts that we've started looking from and ended in chapter 28. And now we are in chapter 28 of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. So I want just to read the last three verses of the book of Acts so that I will point out that the narration of Luke in the book of Acts is not complete. It's not complete. So sometimes you hear people say the Bible is not complete, but what we have is enough already for our salvation. Hallelujah. God allows us to have what is necessary for us. Now, let's take Acts chapter 28, verse 29 down to 31. Acts 28, it says, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. He said, and Paul, take note now, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. Verse 31, the very last verse in the book of Acts. He said, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerns the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, go back to verse 30. Go back to verse 30. He said, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him. Now, Luke carefully gave us a summary of a span, 2 years line. But he didn't give us details of what happened within these 2 years. There are things for him to have mentioned that Paul stayed in his hired house for 2 years. That is to say, at the time Luke was writing the book of Acts, that 2 years was already complete. Hallelujah. Now, when Paul was in prison in Jerusalem and in Caesarea for 2 years, every step of what happened, how Paul appeared to Governor Felix, how Paul appeared to Governor Festus, how Paul was summoned by the Sanhedrin Council, that is the line of 2 years. Paul gave us a concise information of what happened. Now, for another 2 years that he stayed in Rome, in the Roman prison, Luke only told us that he stayed there for 2 years, but there was not a record again given to us of the activities that transpired within those 2 years. Hallelujah. So, the book of Luke, Acts has helped us to see 6 episodes of the writings of Paul. And we agreed that Paul wrote 14 episodes. And the book of Acts now is ended with chapter 28. Now, how are we going to know when and how, what brought about the writings of, when you minus 14 from 6, you are left with 8. So there are now 8 episodes of Paul that we need to search the scriptures to understand what brought about them. What events that led to the writings of this 8 episode, because the book of Acts now that has been our bearing that we've been using to depict and to extract informations on how Paul wrote the episode, it has ended. So no more informations. Hallelujah. But the Lord will help us as we proceed in order to bring up these things from other scriptures. Hallelujah. So today, let's move to the day's business. Let me have the slide. So the slide, Paul finally arrived Rome. Paul preaches to the Jews in Rome. Paul again divided the Jewish community in Rome. The structure of the book of Acts, facts about the book of Acts. Who is Dr. Luke? What counts of the work of Luke versus what counts of the works of Paul? Then we will now look at Paul's first imprisonment. Hallelujah. Okay, let's have the slide as we move forward. Again, I just bring back this to build a foundation. Paul finally arrived Rome. I say Paul arrived Rome not as a missionary carrying the gospel message he has so envisaged, but wearing the legal chains of a prisoner, head for trial before the high court of Rome. So we are all conversant with this story, what brought him to Rome. The second point that I say, we must also note the fact that Paul's projected visit to Rome was not finally finalized or realized. We also know this from history of what we've been doing before. I just brought those things to build down to what we are doing today. Hallelujah. So let us discuss Paul's activities in Rome. The ones Luke gave us the information before he ended informations. He ended it. And again, we will see why Luke did that. That actually, Luke was not writing all these things to elevate Paul. He was not writing all these things to look good before Paul. He was writing it because of Jesus, not Paul. We are going to see it, because we see men today, when they are on position, they are doing everything to praise their boss when it comes to spiritual contest. But the right thing is to live your life to please God and not man. So we can see in the life of Luke, when you started reading the book of Luke and his relationship with Paul, one would have thought that he's doing all these things to profile Paul, to make Paul look good. But at the end, we could note that Luke was only doing it for the sake of Christ. Paul was not his focus. Peter was not his point, but he was doing it because of Christ, and we will see it. Hallelujah. I say, upon arriving Rome, Paul is placed under house arrest, but allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guide him. So we saw that Luke gave us that information. because he's not a condemned criminal. When you look at that, this very verse, he didn't come alone to Rome. Other prisoners, condemned prisoners, they came with him. So when they all arrived Rome, they shuffled them, sent the condemned prisoners to prison, because Paul is not a condemned prisoner. They allowed him to stay on a rented house, but they provided security for him. And I said, with this constraint, he is free to conduct his ministry in person and by letters from where many other epistles were written. So take one point now. In this 2 years constraint of him being in house arrest, this was actually where some of the episodes were written. So we will begin to bring them out as time goes on. And I say, after 3 days of his arrival, Paul sent for the chief of the Jews for an interaction. This is a prisoner. After 3 days of him arriving Rome, he began to ask, please, I want to see the elders of the Jewish community. And as a traveler too, when you travel to a foreign nation, the first two people you identify with, very, very important. Whatever you're going to do, you're going for a business, you're going for a holiday, there are two communities you need to identify with, and that is what Paul have done. The first people immediately you arrived in a foreign land is to look for your embassy. Very, very important. You look for your embassy, you profile yourself with the embassy, you tell them why you are here, you tell them your activities, you tell them when you are going back. Very, very important. Because if anything happens around you, the embassy can say, yes, when he came into the country, he identified with us, this and this are the profile, so they can help you. But if you come into the country without letting your nation know you are in this country, when you move into a problem, 50% they won't give you hearing ear, because when you came in, you neglected them. The next people to identify with when you come in is the Nigerian community. In every country you are, Nigerian community. Find out more about them depending the extent of your stay you want to stay in. When you identify with them, with that you will also know and have more information. So Paul is not an exemption. 3 days that he entered Rome, he began, because he's a Jew, he began to ask about the Jewish community. They say, yes, so they have their community here. Please, can you help me invite the elders? So the elders came for an interaction with Paul, just like we've seen. Let me have the next slide. I say, Paul, after having interaction with the Jewish elders, they now booked another day for them to go and call all the community, call a community town hall of the Jews, where they will all come to hear Paul, because they've heard that there is a man that has brought Israel to Rome, appeared against Israel. So Paul was actually wanting to let them know he doesn't have problem with Israel as a nation, that something happened that made him to appeal to Caesar, not that he had problems. So this is the explanation. He said, we know that there is a Christian community already in Rome, but Paul, always wanting to preach where Christ has not been named, invited the Jewish the Jews for a meeting. We know the culture of Paul. We've seen that in our previous lectures. Paul doesn't want to preach Christ where Christ has been named. So certainly there was a Christian community in Rome, but he didn't invite them upon his coming, because they already know what he knew. So he wanted to speak to those who have not known Christ. Immediately he invited the Jewish community. So the chief of the Jews visited Paul, and he explained what happened in Jerusalem and blamed his arrest on the Jews of Jerusalem. Now the rumor must have gone into the town that there is this young man that, you know, the Jews as a nation, Israel as a nation, even though they are under the Roman government, they were not happy with the Roman government, especially the tax meant to them. Now, for them to have heard that a man brought their own nation to Rome as a case, certainly they are not going to be happy with Paul. But Paul was defending himself that what you people heard is not the truth. This is what actually happened. I didn't mean to bring my nation here. Is the Jews in Jerusalem that wanted to kill me. Because I had no other option, that was why I appealed to Caesar, for Caesar to hear me out before they would kill me. He said, and Paul stressed that he had nothing against Israel as a nation, to have appealed to Caesar, but the plot of the Jews in Jerusalem to kill him forced him to do so, just like I've explained. And I say, Paul assured them that he is a loyal Jew, not a heretic. It is the hope of Israel that I am bound with chain. Now, Paul is subtly entering them now. He first of all identified himself that he is a Jew as they are, that he now bring up a center point between the Jew and the Christians where we meet. He said, it's the hope of Israel that I was brought here. So they are now, he dropped something to them. They are now coming to hear the hope of Israel. From there, Paul will now expand the gospel. He said, the hope of Israel certainly include that the Messiah would be the king of the world and the resurrection of the dead. So these are the two powerful things hidden under that statement that Paul made, the hope of Israel. Say you are an Israeli. I want to show you the hope of Israel. So let's have the next slide. When they heard Paul, they now appointed another day in order to meet and call all the Jewish people in Rome in order to hear Paul. So I say, upon hearing Paul, the Roman Jews became interested to hear Paul's side of the story. His side of the story about the hope of Israel. His side of the story about what transpired in Jerusalem, why they wanted to kill him. And the unquote, he said, and they said unto him, this is now the chief of the Jews telling Paul now, we neither receive letters out of Judea consigning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Paul has already planted the seed. So when they made this statement, I could see Paul smiling in his heart. He said, they don't enter, they don't enter, they don't enter. So they actually affirmed, we've not heard any evil thing about you. We didn't receive any letter from Jerusalem. But you just made a very powerful statement, the hope of Israel. Okay, we will come to hear what we didn't know before. And that was how they left, and they appointed another day to meet. And that day, they all came to meet Paul where he's lodged. Let's see the next slide. Now, Paul again divided the Jewish community in Rome. Now, the whole community, they now came to hear Paul. But at the end of the hearing, the crowd was divided though. And that is the essence of the scriptures. That is the essence of the gospel. The gospel will divide so many things. Those who agree and those who doesn't agree. And that is the featuring. As long as your name is in the book of life, the deep in you will always respond to the deep of the preachings. Hallelujah. So those who believed the deep in Paul through the gospel sermon actually magneted the deep in them, and they automatically responded. Okay, I say, the chief of the Jews informed the Jewish community about Paul. On the appointed day, a larger number of the Jews came to hear what Paul had to say. So these are the scripture references. Because of our time, when we start reading them, we won't leave here because we have much to say. I say, from morning to night, according to the scriptures, in his rented lodge, Paul expounded, testified, and persuaded them concerning Jesus Christ. I say, Paul preached Christ as the one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies, died for our sins, and raised from the dead. So that was the hallmark, that was the center of Paul's message unto them. Paul asked them to come with their Torah, come with their Old Testament, and Paul was bringing out facts from the Old Testament, pointing it down to Jesus, that Jesus is the one. This prophecy now in the book of Isaiah 53, say you see it, this prophecy, Isaiah 53, has the prophecy been fulfilled? They said, no, we are still waiting for the prophecy to be fulfilled. He said, hey, that is what I'm telling you. This Jesus is the one that fulfilled this prophecy. You see, this was what Paul was doing from morning to night, bringing out prophecies from the Old Testament and showing them that Jesus fulfilled this already. Jesus fulfilled this already. Hallelujah. So I said, in the end of Paul's sermon, after he've done all those things from morning to night, Paul, as usual, divided the Jewish community, as some believed and some didn't. Some believed and some didn't. The same word test was given to every one of them. But like I said, because their names were written from the foundation of the world, there is no other thing rather to respond to the message of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. So you can see the Jewish people arguing among themselves. Oga, you know they see. You know they see. Look at this scripture. This one say, no, it's still to come. The Jesus, we heard about his story. Our Jesus supposed to be a king that we overthrow this Roman government. But listen now, his time have not come. So this was the argument between them. And Paul was sitting aside looking at them, smiling in his heart. And finally, the ones that didn't believe left. And Paul gathered those that have believed as his own disciple. Please put your hands together for Apostle Paul. Let's continue. I say, okay, the Bible says, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. Now, the next one, I say, the above statement now shows that some were convinced and believed while some others would not. Now, I want us to take note of Paul's closing remark before those that didn't believe, before they left him, before they departed. And Paul closed his sermon with this word. But be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Hallelujah. That Paul ended with this statement to them that, well, it's now evidence that you people didn't believe. The gospel already moved to the Gentiles. I was just trying to see how to help us here. Who knows if there are few elects that their names are here, but I have seen them. The gospel has gone to the Gentiles. If we are the Gentile nation and individually we are Gentiles, can you put your hands together for yourself for accepting the gospel that the Jewish people rejected? They rejected it as a nation, but you have received it. And that was why Jesus told Thomas, he said, blessed are those who have believed and have not seen. I didn't see Jesus. I only read of him. And while I was living the life in here, I began to see his supernatural manifestation that made me believe that he lives. But those that saw him physically, those that saw him in person, they rejected his offer. And that is why we and them in the millennium, we are not going to share the same position. Because I believed without seeing. They saw and they didn't believe. How will I and them share the same position in the millennium? I am the one who is taking the higher risk because I didn't see. They saw and they refused. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for yourself again. Celebrate yourself. It's not an easy one. Amen. Okay, that is the next slide. Now, I want us, after Paul had made this statement, let us carefully look at the structure of the books of Acts before we continue. Let us look at the structure of the book of Acts. I brought out outlines of the book of Acts. Book of Acts is a powerful book. And it pains me that many preachers, they've not taken time to also exhort Dr. Luke. We are going to see the important role Dr. Luke played in Christendom. And I'm telling you, outside the writings of Dr. Luke, forget our Christian faith, it wouldn't have been so precious the way we have it. So God specially raised Dr. Luke to do what he's done. So I want us to see the first prophecy, how it came to pass and what happened. I say Acts chapter 9 is the chapter. Please go back. I think you've missed a slide. You've missed a slide. Okay, thank you very much. You missed a slide. Okay. The structures of the book of Acts. I say by the statement, the previous statement that Paul made that the gospel has gone to the Gentiles, I say by that statement of Paul, we are left with three verses. The verses now for the book of Acts to totally end is verse 29, verse 30, and verse 31 that we just read. I say to this end, the book of Acts of the Apostles, I would want us to look at the structure and facts of the book of Acts before we continue. According to Erasmus is also a Christian father. Erasmus, the book of Acts, according to him, provides the foundation of the new church, the newborn church, according to Father Erasmus. He said the book of Acts provides the foundation of the newborn church through which we hope that the church in ruins will be reborn. Hallelujah. I don't know if you got that powerful statement. The book of Acts is the foundation of the newborn church, and we know the church has fallen away. Again, he's saying that it's also this book of Acts, when we come back to the book of Acts, that the church in ruin will again be reborn. Please applaud this great man of God. Applaud this great man of God. Yes, I totally believe them. That was why I brought out that quote. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus made a prophecy or dropped a word. I say, Jesus dropped this to his disciples. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Uttermost part of the earth. So we are looking at the structure now of the book of Acts. I say Acts chapter 1 to 8. The book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 describe the gospel being preached to the Jews in Jerusalem and the Judea as prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as the book of Acts chapter 1 to chapter 8 describe how we are looking at now the prophecy Jesus gave before ascending to heaven. Now, the first part was covered from the book of Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 8, where the people went to preach to Jerusalem, preach in Judea, to first of all, to fulfill the prophecy that was given to Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. Now, I say chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, is the chapter the Jews rejected the message, and persecution began, which was ironically led by Apostle Paul himself. Now, from chapter 1 to 8, they preached to them. In chapter 9, the Jews, they rejected the gospel. And I say, ironically, this persecution and rejection was led by Apostle Paul himself. Now, I say, chapter 10 to chapter 12, as a result of the persecution of chapter 9, the message goes to the Gentiles in Caesarea, in Samaria, and to the Gentiles in Antioch of Syria, as prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see now the fulfillment of that prophecy where the gospel will go around. And this is contained by the book of Acts that was written by our brother, Dr. Luke. Now, the next slide there, I said, the book of Acts chapter 13 to chapter 28, which is the last book of Acts, I say this is where we now see Paul and his companion place their focus on the Gentile cities of Galatians, Macedonia, Greece, and Asia, and finally to Rome, fulfilling the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just put your hands together for this prophecy. So by and large, this prophecy is fulfilled already. The word has gone round the chronics and the size of the world. So I say, let us agree by and large that the Jews have heard the gospel and they rejected the gospel, because the gospel first is meant for the Jews. I say, to the Jews first and also to the Greek, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 8. The Jews, first of all, got the message. They rejected it, as we've seen from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9. And it went down now to the Gentile nation with which we've already accepted it. Go to the next slide. The facts. We're looking at now the facts about the book of Acts. I say the book of Acts is the link between the gospel and Paul's episode. We know the synoptic gospel, Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. So the book of Acts is the middle now that moves them into the epistles of Paul. And the first about it again is that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is revealed in the book of Acts. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is contained, revealed in the book of Acts. And I say, the book of Acts is about the birth of the new church. So that is why it's so important to us. The book of Acts is the birth of the new church. The church we have now, the church we are enjoying, The birth of it was actually contained as a fact in the book of Acts. And again, I said, the book of Acts tells us the story of the first Christian martyr. Very important. The story of the first Christian martyr, our father, Brother Stephen, it was contained in the book of Acts. And again, the book of Acts reveals the conversion story of Paul. You see, if Luke didn't write down all these things, I wonder what we have as a point of reference to the previous life of Paul and also his subsequent missionary journeys. And again, I say, as carefully documented three Pauline mission trips. So these are the facts of the book of Acts. And finally, among many other points, I say Acts was completed before Paul's death. The book of Acts, as we see, ended in chapter 28, and this time Paul was still alive. Now the question is, who is behind the Spirit-filled book? Who is behind this Spirit-filled book? And here is where I came to mind that history will not forgive me after I have used the resources of Dr. Luke, and I refuse to give a very ample time to actually exalt this man of history. Please put your hands together for Dr. Luke. Yeah, history will not forgive me after using his materials to enrich millions all over the world, and we don't take time at least to lift him up a little. Hallelujah. I say, who is Dr. Luke? Dr. Luke. I say, history will not forgive me if I refuse to recognize the person behind the work with which we understand better the New Testament church. I say, not too many preachers and Christians have taken real time to appreciate the work of Dr. Luke. You see, in all my Christian life for years, I was telling them there was a time I preached about a Jacobed. I say, I have never heard any preacher in any altar take out time to preach about Jacobed. And I was asking them, who is Jacobed? And so many people didn't know. I said, there are heroes of the scriptures that we also need to bring out and give to them what belongs to them. If not for the risk that woman took, the mother of Moses, when you read that story and you see how she risked her life to preserve the life of Moses, we wouldn't be celebrating Moses today without the mother, Jacobed. And I brought out the false, okay, that was, I was speaking with international women that gathered in Zoom that invited me. So I said, let me use this time to talk with the women, to let them know their potential and their importance in the things. They are valued. So I expanded to show them the role the mother of Moses played in preserving the Moses we are celebrating today. But in the whole altar, I have never seen any preacher talk about that woman. Again, put your hands together for Moses' mother, Jacobed. Hallelujah. So I said, not too many preachers preach about them. Point three. I said, little is known about Luke, the author of the third gospel of Acts of the Apostles, who was a physician and also a freelance journalist. A physician by profession, that is to say, he's well read, he knows everything he's saying, and again, a freelance journalist. Because of the gospel. The next point, I said, in his writing of the gospel, he played the role of a reporter, compiling the eyewitness accounts of people who saw Jesus, as you can see in the book of Luke, chapter 1, 1 to 4, that was the role of a journalist that he played. But in the book of Acts, he is part of the very action. Hallelujah. He's part of the very action. He traveled with Paul where Paul was going. So in the book of Acts, he had a first-hand information, not like the gospel that he wrote. And I say, he's part of the second missionary journey in Troas and Macedonia. We are talking of Luke now. Again, the next slide. I say, Luke talked about himself as being part of the trip from Macedonia to Jerusalem, contained in the book of Acts. I say, he also shows up on Paul's journey to Rome, from Caesarea to Rome, just like we've seen. And I say, if we remove, now take note now, this is what This what actually got me puzzled about Luke, a very important man. Take note of the next two statements I want to make. I say, if we remove the book of Hebrews, remember, there is contention within the Christian body that Paul was not the author of the book of Hebrews. Now, we want to give fair hearing to the group, the two groups of opinions in the Christendom about the book of Hebrews. I say, if we remove the book of Hebrews from Paul's authorship, now we want to agree with other people that it wasn't Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews. Now, take note. Dr. Luke wrote the most of the New Testament by word count. If we remove the book of Hebrews from Paul's authorship, Dr. Luke, by word count, wrote the most of the New Testament gospel. So this is not a man we can just throw by the side. It's a man that needs to be given his due accolades. Now, the next point, I say, by word count, Dr. Luke is the second writer. If we add the book of Hebrews to Paul's authorship, how can we overlook such an important biblical figure? How can we? By what count? That is to say, he is the one who painstakingly took time in words to write most of the New Testament. If we remove the book of Hebrews, he is the number one writer, the highest writer of the New Testament. If we add the book of Hebrews to Paul's authorship, he is the second highest writer of the New Testament by word count. Let us see it for ourselves. Go to the next slide. Now, this is a quote from a man who actually did the calculation and verified what we are going to look now. Now, word counts of the works of Dr. Luke versus word count of the works of Apostle Paul. We know Apostle Paul wrote 13 / 14 books of the scripture. Now, unquote, I say, all word counts are the work of computer programmer Dave Whittinger. According to the man, he said, I have checked and double-checked his counts with a manual count in 10 of the 66 books, and they all match perfectly. He said, therefore, I believe these word counts to be 100% accurate. Now, after the programmer has used the computer to run those word tests, he himself manually took 10 books of the Bible, counted it manually, and he saw that they are all 100% accurate to that which the computer gave to the man. Now, let's go to the next slide. When you look at the book of Romans down to the book of Hebrews, the word count in the book of Romans is 9,424, the word count. Now, when you go down to the total, in that very book of the total there, if we add the book of Hebrews to the authorship of Paul, that is to say the total word count from the 14th episode that was written by Paul, the total word count is 50,192 words. The total word count of all the works that Paul did is 50,192 words. Now, if we remove Hebrews from the authorship of Paul, like I've explained, the total word count from all the works that Paul have done of the 13 books is 43,295 words. Now, Dr. Luke only wrote two books, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Now, when we check the word count of those two books that Dr. Luke wrote, the word count is 49,869 words. Put your hands together for Dr. Luke. So by this, if you remove the authorship of Hebrew from Paul, Dr. Luke is the highest Bible writer, Bible writer of the New Testament. If you add to give to Paul, and you give him the book of Hebrews, at least Dr. Luke come out second now, out of how many writers? To come out second, not be smarter now. Please put your hands together for at least second position of Dr. Luke. Hallelujah. So when I got this, I said, no, this man must be celebrated. History also should know about this biblical figure that has given us what we are enjoying today. Somebody again appreciate Dr. Luke. Hallelujah. Wherever he is now, see me, he will be proud and say, this is my boy, this is my boy. Hallelujah. Okay, let's have the next slide. So we are now coming down to Paul's first imprisonment. We've seen the structure, the facts, and the important role played by Dr. Luke. So we are looking at Paul's first imprisonment. The book of Acts ended abruptly without Luke recording the outcome of Paul's legal trouble in Rome. In his legal trouble in Israel, Luke documented it very well. But in Rome, he didn't give us any record of what happened. Now I say, Dr. Luke is certainly aware of the outcome of Paul's sojourn in Rome. He was aware because he said Paul stayed 2 years in that rented house. That is to say, what transpired in those 2 years, Dr. Luke was perfectly aware of what transpired. But the reason why he didn't write it is what we are going down now. The purpose he didn't write it, one, the Holy Spirit didn't allow him. And the focus is not on Paul. The focus is on Jesus Christ, because Dr. Luke had a mission. There was a mission why he embarked on the journey of writing the book of Acts. He didn't just start writing it because he loved Paul so much or he loved Peter so much. There is something he wanted to accomplish that made him write it. And we will see that as we move forward. I said Dr. Luke certainly is aware, but didn't furnish us with the details. And I said, and the reason why we know he's aware, he was aware of what happened was, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his rented hired house. He dwelt 2 whole years in that house. For him to have given us the clues, the number of years Paul spent in Rome in prison shows that he also knows everything that's transpired within those 2 years. And I say, the last word of Dr. Luke in the above indicates that the narrative is incomplete. We are aware of that now, that what transpired, he didn't furnish us with enough information. I say, we are not informed by Dr. Luke Paul's audience with Caesar. He didn't tell us what happened. When Paul appeared to Caesar, did he employ lawyer? Did they bring lawyer just as he furnished us with the information of his trial in Jerusalem? He didn't give us this information too. And I said his response and finally his release. We are not aware of those things. But in his first trial in Jerusalem, he gave us the three-count charge. He gave us Paul's response. He gave us how the case was adjourned. But here, he didn't furnish us with any information. I say, Dr. Luke only recorded the sources of Paul's 2 years ministry. Take note now. Dr. Luke was interested in the sources of the ministry and not in the person of Apostle Paul. Dr. Luke was interested in the sources of the gospel. He was not interested to elevate any mortal man as we see today. So he carefully gave us the summary of the conclusion of the outcome of that 2 year sojourn of Paul without mentioning the things Paul went through. I said, Dr. Luke recorded the sources of Paul's 2 years in Rome, unquote now, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So Paul ended his 2 years prison ministry or being in prison a successful Christian. That was what Dr. Luke was after. Dr. Luke was not after the person of Paul, but he was interested in the gospel that Paul is preaching. Hallelujah. Now, I say, this certainly shows that Dr. Luke's record of event is not primarily about Paul or about Peter, but about Jesus Christ and God's word and God's work in the world. That was his center. We will see that. I say, the purpose of writing the book of Acts to Theophilus. Now, take notes. The book of Acts was written with an intention. It was written to a man, a noble man, whose name is Theophilus. So this was Theophilus. This was the reason Luke undertook this painstaking journey to document the book of Acts. So he was not writing it in order to make Paul or Peter happy. He was writing it because there is a big fish somewhere that he wants to win into Christianity. Put your hands together for Dr. Luke. I say, the purpose of writing the book of Acts to Theophilus is to present Jesus, not Paul, to present the resurrection of life, and among many other things, the power of the Holy Spirit. That was his focus. That was his mission, to present all these things to the nobleman, His Excellency Theophilus. Hallelujah. I say, the book of Acts is a continuation. Take note now. The book of Acts is a continuation of his evangelical mission. His evangelical mission to catch a big fish. There is a big fish in sight. And that big fish is the noble, excellent Theophilus. That is the big fish that Apostle Dr. Luke took all these pains to bring out what is benefiting you and I. I said the big fish this time is Theophilus, as he references his first letter to him, which is the gospel according to Luke, Acts chapter 1. Let's see that book of Acts chapter 1 before we move forward, please. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. Acts chapter 1. He said, former treaties have I made. Now, the former treaties he made is the previous, he's making reference now to the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke. And the gospel of Luke was also written for the same man, for this man Theophilus. So when he finished writing the life of Jesus in the book of Luke, he also went forward to now write about the birth of the church. The birth of the church we have, to the same man. He said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, you can see the focus is on Jesus. It's not on man. It's not on Paul. It's not on Peter. It's not on the activities. But the focus is on Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's move forward again. Give me verse 2, please. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he has, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. He said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, you cannot see that his focus is on Jesus and not on the men he was writing about. Praise Master Jesus. Let's see the next slide as we conclude. Give us the next slide, please. Amen. So I said it's the continuation. When you also look at the book of Luke, let's just very quickly take the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, 1 to 4. Please, let's just take it to harmonize what we've just said. Look at now verse 1. It said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Verse 2. This is an evangelist speaking. He said, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. He said, and ministers of the word, verse 3. He said, it seems good to me also. After now, remember, the gospel that he wrote was delivered to him by eyewitnesses, by Peter, by his research, compiling them as a journalist. They were delivered to him. Now, he presented what was delivered to him to his most excellency, Theophilus. Now, let's go back to that verse. Please don't take it. Now, he's not taking his own time. He said, it seems good. It seems good to me also. After having had perfect understanding of these things from the very beginning, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, he now took, after having a perfect understanding, he now began to write to him the Gospel of Luke. When he finished the Gospel of Luke, he now continued his evangelism, because he was part of the missions of Paul to get and solidified the faith of this big fish that he've caught. Somebody again appreciates Dr. Luke. Give me back the slide, please. Give me back the slide very quickly. Okay, the next slide. The next slide. Okay. Now, I'm saying the book of Acts through Luke helped us to pick up 6 episodes from Paul's 14 episodes. So, with the study of the book of Acts, we've been able to bring out when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the book of Romans. We've seen that with the help of Dr. Luke. Now, the book of Acts has ended. Where are we going to get other information to ascertain the authorship of other books that is ascribed to Paul? Who is going to help us with this information? Our expo man has ended his writing. Hallelujah. So I say, when was this episode written? The book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and the book of Hebrews. When was it written? Who is going to help us? And this is where the advice of the gospel, we should divide the word of truth to actually know when they were written. I say again, Luke didn't furnish us if Paul was convicted, if Paul was released, what happened to Paul. Luke didn't furnish us with those information. I say, was Paul convicted in Rome or released? I say, next week we will find out these informations for ourselves. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are still in Rome. Next week we will now actually find out what happened, giving time again for those who didn't get their visa to come to Rome. So make sure you get your visa, buy your flight ticket. We'll be in Rome to see how the legal case went with Dr. Luke. Because of the time now, sorry, I won't entertain questions. If you have any question, the Lord's General is there tomorrow. Ask him. Let us be on our feet. Hallelujah.